normally I was going to have a guy that does a really good job with the Gideon presentations. He is not available today. Every year we come to you and talk about the Gideon ministry, what it means to us, what it means to the community, and what it means to the world at large. We as Gideons pass out scripture. That's all we do. Everything that you give goes to buying scripture. And let me give you a couple ideas some examples of how Gideon scriptures have made a difference. There's a lady in South Carolina went to a hotel intending on taking her life while she was there. Called down to the clerk, down to the desk clerk, and as much as anything to apologize for the mess that she was about to make and let the lady know she was sorry. And the lady said, "Before you do that, open that drawer and pull out that book that's in there, and let's turn to John." And she opened the book and read with the girl over the phone and said, "Would you please let me come talk to you?" So she went to that hotel room and pulled out the Gideon Bible that was in that nightstand and saved the girl's life because we had a Bible in the nightstand. There was an atheist who went to a hotel, he was intending on writing a screenplay based on David and Goliath. That was what his plan was. And have y'all seen most of those screenplays that's been happening of late? They're only loosely based on scripture in that the character Noah was actually in the Bible, but the rest of it pretty much was inaccurate. Well, he decided he would at least get some background, so he opened the drawer to the nightstand and pulled out the Gideon Bible and read, fell on his knees and gave his life to God because there was a Bible in the nightstand. A group of Gideons went to the Philippines passing out to hand out scripture. They didn't think they had taken enough for all of where they was going, and so they went to the first stop, and the first place basically a school for graduate students, and they said, "No, we don't want you here." So on the way by, they stopped at a high school and walked in and asked the principal, "Can we give out these Bibles?" And the principal leaped to her feet and said, "Thank God you're here. We've been praying for a single scripture to hold in our school so we can have lessons in morality." Every student in that high school got a scripture because those guys were there, and they wouldn't have been there without our generosity to do that. Let me make it a little more pointed to home. You think that some of that doesn't really affect me a lot. In 1947, there was a gentleman that was going to Cahoma High School, or Cahoma Elementary School, fifth grade. He was handed a New Testament, not unlike that one. It was red, but it's not unlike the one that I put there. His parents were not church members. In fact, the way his parents talked, he was afraid of church and was afraid of church people. But these men came to the school and handed him a Bible. He was not particularly interested because, as I said, he was afraid of people that go to church. He took the little scripture home, and in the secret of his bedroom, he started reading the scripture. That night, he gave his heart to Jesus. In the back of the book, he wrote his name and the date when he was saved. A little bit afraid to tell his parents, but he went ahead and kept reading the scripture and asked, "Can I go to church?" So he came to this church. Not sure where it was at that point, but came to this church and continued to read scripture and finally come across one of them. And John says, "I will make you fishers of men." He took that scripture because of a Gideon that came to his school, gave his life, and has ministered over and over and over to people across this community, across Big Spring area in general, across the state and across the country as mission director for the Southern Baptist Convention. You guys know him as Brother Dale Robinson.
Correct.
A Gideon Bible placed in the hands of a fifth grade student has led countless people to God. Now you think that's not much. This little book cost us $1.30. It cost us $102 to put Testament in the Cahoma Elementary. That's what it cost us every year. For every hotel in Big Spring that we had put scriptures in, it cost us about from $250 to $300 per hotel to save somebody from committed suicide, to save somebody from doing acts that they wouldn't do, to pull someone out of adultery when they've gone through and opened the drawer. I could give you story after story of people who have opened that drawer, who have taken the Bible given to their child and read their scripture and were saved. One of the stories that I read yesterday had to do with a little child who got their brother's little testament and asked his grandmother to read it. Grandmother's not particularly interested, so she reads it anyway. Grandmother and child were saved because somebody bothered to give out a scripture. So the long and the short of it, friends, is without the help of y'all and other churches, we wouldn't have the monies to give out scriptures. We put them in all the hotels, in the hospitals. Every place where hospitals would let us in, you can open the drawer there on the table when my father passed away. There in the ICU room, we opened the drawer, and there's a Gideon Testament there we could read the 23rd Psalm. There was a girl that was in the hospital in our state, was considering suicide, and she prayed God, you know, in the best she could, give me some direction. When she woke up from a prayer, Gideon had walked by and placed a testament on her bed. God answered with one of these. And friends, without your help, we can't do this. We just can't. It cost us a lot of money. We hand out over 5,000 Bibles in the Big Spring area every year. And just the eight of us who are Gideons in the Big Spring area that are active, we couldn't do all that on our own. We depend on y'all for your help and support. Now, guys, if you're a business person and you want a ministry, there's nothing better than putting a Bible in somebody's hand and letting them take that scripture and witnessing and learning about God through that little book. I don't know that I can put it any easier than that. In your bulletin, you'll see the envelope that Mark showed you, the handout and the insert that Mark showed you. That's got an envelope in it. You can put your money in the envelope and mail it to us. I'll be at the back of the church, back where Jay and Guy are, with my Bible open. You can put your donation in there. You can mail it to us at any time. There's cards on that table with a red cloth on the back of it that's got birthday cards and sympathy cards. You can make your donation that way, and we see that they get the sympathy card and the donation and so forth. But I implore you to consider a gift that would help us to further God's kingdom. Like I said, it's a token out of our pocket now, but think about the lives that we had in eternity.
The point I was getting at was what scripture I was going to read. Turn to 2 Timothy with me. And while you're turning there, 2 Timothy chapter 3, I want to just tell you, having scriptures distributed are such a vital ministry in our area, in our country, in our communities, in our country, in our world. There are no better ministries that are doing that than the Gideons. Amen? And so I just highly recommend to you, through this worship service, be praying about what God would have you to give. As Brian said, he's going to be back there at the back with an open Bible. You can give him donate money to Gideon's that way. In your bulletin, there is a card, an envelope that you can do it. And any given day, you can come by the church here and you can get those brochures and those pamphlets and those cards, and you can send. But consider giving, okay? It is a worthy ministry. Why is it so important for us to get those scriptures out? Well, God's word tells us. Paul told his son in the ministry, In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, he said, "All scriptures God breathed is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God might be thoroughly equipped for every good work." That's why we give. That's why the Gideons do what they do. And I just want to encourage you to pray about and then to follow that up with action and give to the Gideons. Let's have a prayer together. Heavenly Father, we come to you once more. Lord, I just lift up Brian and lift up the Gideons to you. I thank you for all that they do and what they mean to us and our communities and in our world. Lord, help us and speak to us and guide us and direct us and implore us. We know the importance of your word. We just read it. But help us to further that word to each and every person that walks this earth. We thank you for the Gideons. We thank you for allowing us to be here this morning. It's in your name that we pray. Amen.
Now, if you'll stand and turn to for our call to worship.
Thank you all so much for that. Children, if y'all, well, they're already heading out. Never mind. Don't have to tell them, huh? They're heading that way. Tell you what, I so appreciate each one that shares their talents with us on any given Sunday. Amen. Be it through those playing the instruments for us, we always enjoy listening. I'm with Brian. I can sit and listen to those two ladies play for a long, long time. I enjoy that, but I enjoy listening to people sing as well. And we have several in our church that share their gifts with us through music, and we appreciate each and every one of them that do that. As they were singing that song, I had written down one way, I guess you might say, of doing an introduction for this message, but that song did even better than what I had in mind. I know you know the story about the man that wrote that song. He had lost everything, hadn't he? But yet when he went across that place in that water where he had lost so much, he was able to say, "It is well with my soul." How can we say that? With everything that goes on in our lives, how can we say, "It is well with my soul"? Well, I think that the series that we're starting this morning might help you with that. We are starting a new series entitled The Keys to Happiness. And we're going to look at the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus spoke and shared with us almost the very beginning of that. He uses the word blessed. Blessed are they. And that word blessed really means happy. So how can we be happy? How can we be blessed? How can we say, "It is well with my soul"? That's what I want us to look at this morning. I want to once again, and I will at the end as well, remind you how appreciative I am of the Gideon ministry and what they do for us on our behalf, really, to where we can come alongside them through contributions and help fund that, and then they're carrying out that ministry. What Brian didn't mention is our own church is a recipient of those Bibles as well. If you talk to most any of the youth that gather here on Wednesday nights, they have Gideon Bibles that were given to them for youth, and countless of them in schools, and then just any time we find a student who does not have a Bible and we find out about it, Brian is one of the first ones we call and say, "Do you have any Gideon Bibles with you?" And then we have some others here as well. But I can't say it enough. I encourage you to give and to give generously to that ministry because it's so vital to us. God's Word is important to us. It's important to our world. That's the only way our world is going to change, isn't it? That's the only hope for our world is God's Word. And that's important to you and I because it gives us instruction. And that's what we're going to do this morning. We're going to look at God's Word and we're going to see about how it instructs us of how we can be blessed. Matthew chapter 5 is where we're at. As I said earlier, we're going to look at some passages, mostly Matthew 5, 3 is where this Sermon on the Mount begins. By the time we get through with it, we're going to look at parts of chapter 5, chapter 6, chapter 7. But we're going to start right here at the very beginning. Matthew chapter 5 starts off with, when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up into the mountains. And after he had sat down, his disciples came to him, and he began to teach them. And then he said, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And that's what we're going to focus on this morning. And the title of the message, as you can see, is It Depends on Who You're Depending On. That's a key to a blessed life. It depends on who you're depending on. A lot of times we look at God's, look at our lives and we think, what's the problem? Why aren't we as happy as some we see in God's Word, we see in other people? Well, I want to just tell you on the onset of this, the problem is not with God. The problem is with you and I. And by that I mean we have to be blessable. We have to place ourselves in a position for God to bless us. He's not going to bless sin. He's not going to bless indifference. We have to do and be what he calls us to be. And through his word, he shows us. Now, he uses this word, this first one we're going to look at, the first condition for being blessed. He says we must be poor in spirit. Let me first tell you what he's not talking about. He's not talking about physical poverty. He's not talking about economic poverty. He's not talking about material poverty. What he is talking about is spiritual poverty. Spiritually, we need to maintain a certain kind of attitude, an attitude of dependence. That's really what that means. What he's talking about there is that when we are poor in spirit, we are dependent on God. Now, I gave you on your sheet there, I gave you, four or five different translations of just the end of that passage. So it can help you to understand and see. The New Living Translation says, God blesses those who recognize their need for him. God's Word translation, God blesses those who recognize they are spiritually helpless. The Common English Version says, God blesses those who depend only on him. The New Century Version, God blesses those who know that they have a spiritual needs. What he's saying is, I recognize when I am spiritually poor, I recognize my inadequacies in my life without God. That's what he's talking about. Without God, I am spiritually poor. I'm inadequate. Psalms 146, 5. The Lord blesses everyone who trusts him and depends on him. Notice those words, trust and depend. That's the first condition for God blessing our lives. We've got to trust him. We've got to depend on him. And that's what it means to be poor in spirit. Now, let me give you a definition. You have a slot there for the definition of what poor in spirit is. It means I humbly depend on God and not myself. I humbly depend upon God and not myself. I'm inadequate to handle all those problems that face my life. So, as always, that's what it looks like. That's what he's talking about. That's what he's saying. But as always, I don't want to stop there. I want to say, okay, but how do we get there? The yes, but how? How do we do that? How do we make our lives? How do we get ourselves in a position to be blessable? Well, I'm glad you asked, because I want to give you five ways, and those are what's listed for you. There are five practical ways. This is not pie in the sky. This is not, sometime in your life, You can do this. This is today, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, till next Sunday. These are things that you and I can do every day. It will place us and make us where we are blessable by God. Y'all ready? Number one, we got to hurry through these. Number one is I depend on God's wisdom, not my own. I depend upon God's wisdom. I listen to what God says. I follow what he tells me to do. And I do what he tells me to do. I depend on God's wisdom. Proverbs 14:12. There is a way that seems right to man, but in the end, it leads to death. You know, most of the time, what we think we ought to do, Scripture says, is not the best outcome, is it? As a matter of fact, most of the time, if it's us directing it, it's going to get messed up. It's when we follow God's direction and God's wisdom and God's guidance, that's when we are blessed. That's when the things turn out right. So we depend, first of all, we need to depend on God's wisdom. Let me tell you very quickly, that doesn't mean that we depend on our feelings. Because a lot of times our feelings are wrong, aren't they? We don't depend on our thoughts. We all know Satan can put the wrong thoughts in our minds. So we don't depend on our thoughts. We also don't depend on what everybody else says, what the world population, what the opinion polls say. When we depend upon God's wisdom, we depend upon Him and Him alone. And that's what Proverbs 3 is talking about, where we trust in the Lord with all of our heart. Now, how do you do this? What's a practical way for you to depend on God's wisdom? Two ways. One, you pray. And two, you study God's Word. Now, some of you are going, well, my goodness, Brother Mark, I thought I was ready to write down some great new revelation. Hey, there's nothing new here. You want God's wisdom? You pray and read His Word. Amen? That's how you get it. That's how you get God's wisdom in your life. I left you a blank there, or one that's got three little blanks. God's wisdom and God's will are in God's Word. God's wisdom. His wisdom for your life and my life. God's will for your life and for my life and for our lives as corporately as a church. They are in God's Word. They're not hidden. It's not hide and seek time. They're there. We just need to pray, talk to God about it, and study God's Word. So the first one is we depend upon God's wisdom. We get God's wisdom by prayer and by studying God's Word. Number two, not only do we depend on God's wisdom, number two, we need to depend on God's strength, not ours. We depend on God's strength. We depend on His power. We depend on His energy. While you're writing that down, you can nod the answer yes or no to this one. Have you figured out that you get tired at the end of the day? That you run out of energy? That you run out of stamina? That you run out of get up and go? We do, because we're humans. And our bodies are frail in that sense. It expends energy. I see a lot more moms smiling than I do dads. That means y'all understand. Y'all are even more tired, aren't you? And what this is telling, what I'm talking about, is we depend on God's strength, because our strength is limited. His is unlimited. We depend on God's strength because ours is finite. His is infinite. We depend upon God's strength because our strength is exhaustible. We run out. But have you noticed God never runs out of energy? He never runs out of strength. He never runs out of power. We need to depend on Him. Psalms 84:5. You bless all who depend on You for their strength. Now, what do we do when we run out of strength? Again, I don't want it just to be, this is what it looks like. You know, just depend on Him. How do you depend on Him? For your strength. Again, I told you we pray and we go to God's Word. Well, God's Word tells us how we get His strength. Isaiah 40, 30, 31. Those who trust in the Lord for help will find their strength renewed. A very famous passage, one that probably most of you know. They will rise up on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not grow weak. How do we do it? We do it by trusting Him. By trusting in His strength. In the darkest moments of your life, the darkest moments of my life, we've got to have somebody else's strength. Amen? Or something else's strength. But I prefer to say someone, and it's the only one, God. The only way we get through a lot of these things that we're going to deal with in our life is through God's strength. We got to depend upon Him. Now, I gave you a couple verses there that I think is a very practical way, again, that you can trust, that you can keep putting your trust back into God each day. The first one is kind of for everybody. Psalm 71:16, and it says, I walk in the strength of the Lord. Now, here's what I'm talking about. When you get up in the morning and you really just want to turn back around and lay back down, you're wore out, you don't have enough energy to get started, you sit right there on the edge of your bed and you say, Lord, I'm going to walk in the strength of the Lord this morning. And I'm going to get up and I'm going to go do this. When you get up and you go to work or you go to school or you go wherever it is that you needed to go, maybe it's just to do the things that you're taking care of around the house, and there's that first conflict that you run into in the day, I want you to say, I walk in the strength of the Lord. When you get that phone call, that bad news, that one thing that you didn't want to hear and you feel like it just drains you completely, what do you say? I walk in the strength of the Lord. What are you doing? You're in God's Word, aren't you? And you're memorizing God's Word to where He can bring it up to you whenever you need it. Psalm 71:16, I walk in the strength of the Lord. At the end of the day, you've run out of energy. I walk in the strength of the Lord. When you go to lay your head down and all you can see running through your mind are the problems, the things, the struggles that you dealt with that day, change that and say, I walk in the strength of the Lord. Now, I'm not saying this is some kind of a guru thing. I'm just saying we just looked at it. God's Word has power, doesn't it? We said that we get God's strength by prayer and His Word. So you use His Word. Second one that I list for you there has to do with when we start getting older and our body starts failing on us. Psalm 71:26 is also a great one, and it says, my health may fail, my spirit may grow weak, but God remains the strength of my heart. He is mine forever. Those are two passages that I really encourage you to memorize and apply them so that you can depend on God's strength. Number three. Number one was God's wisdom. We depend on God's wisdom. Two, God's strength. Number three, we depend on God's timing. We need to depend on God's timing, not ours. The older I get, the more I understand timing is so important in every area of our lives. It's important in sports. It's important in hunting. It's important in every area of our life. Timing is even important about getting across the railroad tracks here in Cajoma. Amen. You pick the wrong time to come by there, you're going to be sitting there. Timing is everything. The problem is, God's Word says that there's a season for everything. It seems like the season of waiting lasts longer than anything else, doesn't it? And that's where we struggle at. The key there is, and I wrote it down for you there, while you're waiting, understand God is working. Just because you're sitting still doesn't mean God's sitting still. We need to remember and depend on God's timing. While we're waiting, God is working. Gave you some other passages there. You need to understand, and what I've come to learn, and, in the years that I have served the Lord and had Him as my Lord and Savior, there is a lot of waiting room time with God. And we need to remember, it's not, that doesn't mean we're off track. That means God is working. We just need to remember He's working while we're waiting. One of the things that we learn from Scripture, from Abraham's story, is that God always gives His best to those who wait on Him. And we generally mess things up when we try to get ahead of God. As a matter of fact, that's exactly what that story of Abraham tells us. All the struggles, everything else, all this stuff that's going on in our world today, in the Middle East, and even now spilling over here. How did all that begin? By Abraham getting ahead of God. Amen? Because of his sons, Ishmael and Isaac. We need to make sure that we wait on God. We need to understand God's best comes to those who wait on Him. Don't take the first, don't rush it. That's not necessarily God's best. So we wait on God. We depend on God's wisdom, on His strength, on His timing. Number four, we depend on God's defense and not mine. We depend on God's defense. What do I mean by that? Well, I don't care what it is that you, what area you're in. If you stand up and lead, if you put forth effort and you rise above others, then you're going to be criticized. You're going to be misunderstood. You're going to be misrepresented. You're going to be misquoted. And I learned something a long time ago that I want to encourage you with, and that is, nowhere in God's Word does it tell us we have to answer every critic. Amen? As a matter of fact, I learned a long time ago, I'm not even going to try to address every criticism, every gossip, every misrepresentation, because if I did that, I would never have the time to do what God's called me and wants me to do. And you need to remember that as well. I don't care if you're leading out at home, in your school, in a community, in church, anywhere it is. There are going to be people that misunderstand what you say. And our first response is, well, I'm going to defend myself. Let God do it. Let me ask you a question, and I'm going to move on. Who do you think can better defend you? You or God? The answer is God, isn't it? You say, practically, Mark, how do I apply this? Let God be my defense? Don't worry about those things. Just turn them over to God. Let God deal with them. Let God handle them. Larry gave me a book to listen to, an audio book. He actually gave me a couple. But I've been listening to it this weekend, and it's by a guy named Michael Youssef. And he's talking about prophecy, the jihad, and Islam, and prophecy. And boy, it just kept coming back to me more and more and more as I'm listening to that, because I already had this message basically ready. And I thought, my goodness, how much have people that have gotten ahead of God's timing, how much has that messed up our world, right? And then once things get messed up, the very first thing we want to do is try to defend ourselves. Brothers and sisters, this week, try this. Don't try to answer all those criticisms. Don't try to answer all those misrepresentations. Don't try to answer all of the gossips. You pray. You study God's Word. You rely on His strength. Rely on His timing. And rely on His defense. See how that works for you. We know how it's been working with when we try to defend ourselves, huh? There's one other one that I want to tell you. I gave you some scriptures there, but I love that Psalm 62. It's one of my favorite. You see those five metaphors? I'm sorry, I was going to move on, but I got to share this one with you. Psalm 62:5, I depend on God alone. I put my hope in Him. He alone protects and saves me. He is my defender, and I shall never be defeated. My salvation and honor depend on God. He is my strong protector. He is my shelter. Do you see those metaphors that David was using there? He said that God is our protector, our savior, defender, our victor, our shelter. That's what you do. You read that passage, and when there's criticism or whatever, and you say, okay, God, it's up to you. Now, number five, not only do we depend on God's wisdom, strength, timing, and defense, we need to depend on God's wealth and not ours. We depend on God's wealth. Philippians 4:19, and my God will supply all my needs from His abundant wealth because of what Christ Jesus has done for us. I want you to understand, your job is a channel. It is, but God is our source. Your job that you have, yes, you get a paycheck from there. It's the channel. It's not the source. God's the source. And let me ask you another question. Who do you think has more wealth? You or God? God does. And we need to trust God, don't we? We need to see Him as the channel. We need to see Him as the source. Our job as the channel. God is our source. There's a lot that I wanted to share with you this morning, but I also don't want to keep you. I don't want to run over. So I just want to encourage you. Apply these things to your life this week and see if it doesn't help. See if it doesn't get better. See if you don't put yourself in a position to be blessable by God. Depend on His wisdom. Depend on His strength. Depend on His timing. Depend on His defense. And depend on His wealth and not yours. Matthew 5:6, happy are those whose great desire is to do what God requires. God will satisfy them fully. That's a promise, isn't it? Do y'all hear that? That's a promise. When you depend upon Him, He will satisfy you. Let's try that this week. What do you say? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father,